bow here, please, for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to come to this thy house, we thank thee once again. We thank thee that we have and we've had the opportunity of worshiping thee. And now we come to the preaching and hearing of thy word. And we pray, O Lord, that in this thou wilt get honor and glory unto thyself, and thou wilt edify and strengthen thy people who are here to worship thee this morning. Bless this thy servant, O Lord, to preach thy word in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And may it find lodging in the hearts of thy people, and that we may use it in our everyday lives to honor and to glorify thee, we pray. We pray with those who've asked an interest in prayer, those on our prayer list, and all, for whom is our duty and privilege to pray. And all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I got your attention this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verses 24 through 27. Again, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verses 24 and 27. And while you're turning to that, the thing that sometime this past week, actually last Sunday I guess it was, or maybe before then, I'm not sure about that. Sometimes I can't remember my name, so I'm not sure exactly. But nevertheless, these three words came to me, by faith Moses. By faith Moses. And this text begins, Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 27 read. These verses read, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, you know, I study things out sometimes, and then something just jumps into your mind, I guess. That's a poor way of saying it. The Lord blesses you to see something, I guess. And I thought about this expression, by faith, Moses. You remember in the day of Jesus Christ, some of you do, I suppose, that they would always refer back to Moses, that Moses was the authority. Well, Moses did not consider himself the final authority, and there's scripture that deals with that, and we'll look into that a little bit later. But they would look at Moses as the final authority, because actually Moses gave the law. Well, the law was given to Moses, and Moses delivered that and passed that on to the nation of Israel. But this is now considered. Moses, at this time, though he wrote the law as God inspired it to him and gave it to him, though he wrote the law, at this time he was not under the law. Moses was walking by faith. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12, and I'm not going to get into trying to preach out both of those chapters. Chapter 11 has 40 verses in it, and chapter 12 has 29 verses in it. And I suppose if I did all that, I'd make sure I liked that real well and whatever, because the rest of you would be gone. Maybe you'd be captain. I'd have to walk on, I suppose, but she has trust me. But nevertheless, in spite of all that, Moses walked by faith. Now, that's a great example to the Israelite people, to the Hebrew people, because this was written to them. Most people think the Apostle Paul wrote it, but his name is not on it, nor is any other name written in the book of Hebrews as the author of the book of Hebrews. That's it, as the other 65 books of the Bible, it was inspired by the Spirit of God. But it was written to people who were in danger of going back and trying to worship the law, or who had gone back and tried to worship God under the law. And the exhortation is for them to walk by faith. And so we have in the beginning of this particular chapter, this particular part of the chapter, by faith Moses. Alright, first of all, what is faith? Well, if your Bible is like mine, you can just look to the first verse and without even turning the page, but if you have to turn the page, I think it will be only one. It says, gives us a description of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And it reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's important, I guess, to look at verse 2 with this, because it reads, for by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And so this is what we have. This is a definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And what I want to look at just a moment is the expression, the evidence of things not seen. Now, obviously, I never saw any of you being born. I've seen three people born into this world, and I'm sure you can figure out who they were. Their names were Robert, William, and Benjamin. I have three sons. Other than that, I haven't. But though I didn't see you born, yet I don't have any doubt that you've been born of your mother. You had natural birth because you're here. And that's the way people are here, other than Adam and Eve, of course. And everyone else is that particular way. But then by faith is the evidence of something not seen. Why, when I was a young boy, by the way, why did I have black hair? My mother has black hair. Why did I start losing my hair? Because my daddy lost his hair and everything. So I got the trait of my mother had it with the black hair. Now I have the trait of my daddy. That is, having lost a lot of my hair. And so I'm right there. Listen, when my daddy passed away, I started doing things. I guess I was doing it all the time. But then I can think of about two different things that I did. No need to get into that. After daddy passed away, and I said, daddy did that. Why did I do that? Well, because I'm my daddy's son. And so I have characteristics of my daddy because I am his son. Now, another thing of faith is called the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. In verses 24 and 23 of Galatians chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. And the word faith is the last word in verse 22, Galatians 5, 22. The fruit of the Spirit. And that is, when we were born of the Spirit, that's what's not seen, by the way, when we were born of the Spirit, faith was in us. All the ability to manifest faith was within us. And so, it's the evidence. None of us have ever, even though if we might have been there when it happened, when someone was born again, we didn't know that they were being born again at that particular time. We know of people, we may have known of people that have had unique experiences, that there's a conversion, just almost like the snapping of your finger. And yet at the same time, we don't know for sure that they were born again then, shortly before then, or whenever before then. But we can see that. And yet we can't see someone being born of the Spirit. If you see someone manifesting faith, or in the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, that's the evidence that person has been born of the Spirit of God. And so Moses lived by faith. Moses was born of the Spirit of God. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and it's the evidence that someone has been born of the Spirit of God. All right, faith is to be exercised. I want you to know just a short way to Hebrews, James chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. James 2 and verses 15 through 17. And these verses read, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not worked, is dead being alone. And so, listen, my faith, your faith, the faith of any of God's children who are born of the Spirit of God, if we do not put our faith into practice or exercise our faith, then our faith is a dead faith. Now, that's hard doctrine, but that's what the Word of God says. That is, we ought to exercise our faith. We ought to put our faith into practice. Alright, so the question is, by faith Moses, how did Moses exercise the faith that God gave him? Well, first of all, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was born at a time when Hebrew male babies were to be sent into the river. They were to be killed. And many of them were killed, but not all of them. And obviously Moses is one that was not killed. And they felt when the time came, they felt like, well, we can't keep Moses any longer. He'll cry out. Somebody will report it and whatever, so he'll be killed. And so his mother made a basket and signed it with pitch so that it would float on the water and Moses wouldn't get wet. And then she put it not far from Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter sent one of her maidens to, while she was bathing, to go out and get that basket, and she looked at it, and she saw this was a little baby. And she knew it from the Hebrew children, if I remember correctly. But she saw this little baby. She was not married. She did not have children. And because she did not have children, that natural longing that was in her came through. And she took Moses and raised him as if he were her own. And you know, the beautiful thing about that is she got Moses' mother to nurse Moses during that time he needed that. And what a blessing it was. My son is going to live, and not only is my son going to live, but I'm going to be able to personally take care of him. And so he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he preferred to suffer affliction with the people of God. And it says here in the scriptures, he considered to be better than the treasures of sin for a season. And for that reason, he forsook Egypt. He had great honor in Egypt, by the way. I heard that secular history tells us that Moses was a great orator, even though he said at the burning bush that he wasn't, but he was going to come before Pharaoh, and so I think if I were to come before someone like Pharaoh, who had the authority over me, by the way, and had the authority to whether to take my life or let me live, that I might be sore of speech also. But Moses was supposed to be a great artist. He was a great leader of men in battle also, and they won many victories in that. And also, I understand evidently, again, this was such a history that there was a possibility that Moses would have been the next Pharaoh of Egypt. So Moses, in a natural way, Moses would have had it all. The richest, as I thought about him being Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and I know all of them didn't have all this, but every one of them heard King Tutankhamun, and gold and mask and all these things, riches that he had that were done him in that tomb. Well, Moses could have had riches somewhat like that. But listen, he says that the reproaches of Christ are greater than all the riches of Egypt. What a tremendous testimony that is. And what a tremendous testimony to those Hebrews that were thinking about or maybe had gone back to find the works of God under the law. Moses said Christ was better than all the things of Egypt. And so that was an example for them, for Moses. They looked to themselves. And again, he considered the reproaches of Christ better than all the treasures in Egypt. Now, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, this Bible is all about Jesus Christ the Lord. I remember someone in the ministry school years ago. I may not have been even ordained then. I've been ordained 44 years, a little more than 44 years. And I remember one of the brethren got up there and said, someone said, if you look at a passage of scripture and you can't see at least the footprint of Jesus in that passage of scripture, go back and read it again. Study it again. You've got the wrong interpretation there, because all of this book is about Jesus Christ the Lord. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 7, I think it is, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So all this Bible, Old Testament, beginning in Genesis and through Revelation, is all about Jesus in one way or another. And so this book is about Jesus. But in Moses, knew about Jesus. He prophesied about Jesus. I want to give you one prophecy of Moses about Jesus, by Moses about Jesus. And that's found, by the way, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18 and verse 15. Again, that's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18 and verse 15. And he says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." Now I want to notice one thing for those of you that reading with me in your Bible, under the prophet. The word prophet begins with a capital P. And so the King James translators knew that that's referred to Jesus Christ. Let me start again. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee," to the nation of Israel, that is, "a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Yet unto him shall ye hearken." Jesus, like Moses, gave, by inspiration of God, by the way, from God himself, the nation of Israel a new covenant that they did not have before. When Jesus came, he gave a new covenant that they did not have before. And so in that way, there are many other ways, by the way, but that's not the message this morning. That's at least one of the ways where that Jesus was a prophet like Moses. And so we don't consider Moses a prophet, but in that passage of scripture, he did indeed prophesy. And so Moses knew about Jesus because he prophesied about Jesus. All right? By faith, Moses knew there was something better than Egypt. And it was better to be God's servant than to be a ruler or royalty, whether you ever be a ruler or not. It was better to be a servant of God with the people of God and even be persecuted than to be royalty in the land of Egypt and have all the rights and privileges thereof as royalty in the land of Egypt. And so Moses thought it was better to serve the Lord with whatever may come with that than to have all the signs that Egypt might provide for them. And I think at that time Egypt was the richest nation on the face of the earth. All right. There have been others. It's not just Moses alone. But there have been others who preferred to suffer reproach. To suffer reproach rather than to disobey God. That was there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The great majority of them, I'm sure, at least are familiar with them. Stephen, and I'll get into him a little bit more in just a moment. But he'd rather suffer reproach in the name of Jesus Christ than have the privileges of whatever privileges he may have had by not doing that. And yet they chose to suffer reproach, and yet at the same time God was with him. Moses had to flee Egypt. Moses killed an Egyptian because he saw that Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses killed one of the Egyptian soldiers, I suppose, and Pharaoh wanted to kill him. And so he had to flee. 40 years he came, 40 years later, he came back. And now notice what the scripture says concerning him. This tells us how God was with him, and that's in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. Again, it's in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And it reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses," he's come back, he's spoken to Pharaoh, presented himself before Pharaoh, and told him it's God's command that he let the people go so they may serve the Lord. "And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh." That's a little G, by the way, God. "And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." That is, another Pharaoh, was going to kill Moses because he killed the Egyptian soldier. And now, this particular Pharaoh that Moses comes before, he says, "Now, you are as a God to Pharaoh." That's another way of saying, Pharaoh is scared of you. And so we see that God was with him, with all the things he did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as the great majority of you know, were cast into a burning fiery furnace. And that is because they would not, even in the face of the king, they would not bow down and worship the God that he set up. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, most powerful man on the face of the earth at that time, was full of rage. And he told them to cast them, furnace seven times hotter than it normally heated. They had him cast in the furnace. Now one thing it tells you that he should have noticed in the very beginning. Though they cast them into the furnace, they were burned. They were their lives were taken from the fire. But Jesus was with them. How do you know that? Nebuchadnezzar left him there and asked the men, did Nebuchadnezzar bring men into the fire? And they agreed, yes, we did. He said, I see a fourth. And the fourth is likened to the Son of God. Jesus was with them, brothers and sisters. And they had no effect on the fire. The only effect of the fire on them was that they were bound all over so that they couldn't move. They were cast into the fire. And those things that bound them, they were burned off. But they didn't so much smell like smoke. Why? Because Jesus was with them, brothers and sisters. Now, Stephen was stoned to death. And because he would not deny his faith in Jesus Christ. He spoke out in the faith of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. He told those scribes and Pharisees and others, whomever they may have been, to listen, you have crucified the Lord of glory and other things like that, that they were hard hearted, stiff necks, and other things like that. He told them that. And I can't remember all those things that were done. But as he was being stoned to death, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen, as he was stoned to death, saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now let me inject one little thing here, and that is, there were some that were saved from dying, and there were some that gave their lives. And yet the Lord was with them even in that. I think Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified. Of the 12 apostles, counting Paul, not Jude, of the 12 apostles, 11 of them were put to death. Only one, the apostle John, died of natural causes. Whether the others are buried, I don't know if anyone knows. It says that the apostle John is buried somewhere near the city of Ephesus. And years ago I went on a Bible Land tour. We could have gone by there, but our readers wanted to go somewhere else. And which is less fun. I'm glad we went where we went. But those who have suffered. Jesus is with those who suffered reproach. He suffered reproach. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 3, there is this word. I'm just not going to turn to that. But the latter part of that verse of Scripture reads, the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen on me. In other words, now let's simplify that by just saying that Jesus said, the reproaches are falling on me. Jesus was a reproach. Jesus was crucified as a troublemaker. Jesus was crucified as an insurrectionist. That is, they accused him, let me put it that way. They accused him of wanting to overthrow the Roman government because they said he was a king. And the ruler in there said, I find no fault in that man. That is Pontius Pilate. But Jesus suffered reproach. And that scripture in Romans chapter 15 verse 3 is found also in the scriptures in Psalm 69 verse 9. That's a messianic psalm, by the way. Psalm about, it's interesting, a psalm about Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, it probably says, I didn't read it when I looked at it. Probably says it's the Psalm of David. And you say, well, it's about David. And then you keep reading. Well, that's about Jesus. That's about Jesus. And so forth. So it was about David and about Jesus. All right. But Jesus, think about this. Jesus, having suffered himself, has compassion on those who suffer. That's an important point, brothers and sisters. Jesus, having suffered himself, has compassion on those who suffer. And especially those who suffer because of living godly. You know, if I go out and commit a crime, then I should suffer for that. And that it's only right that I do that. If I do wrong, there's nothing wrong with me suffering to do that. And yet, if I'm going to suffer, I don't want to suffer for doing right. as Jesus did. Jesus suffered because he was faithful to God in every way. Moses suffered because he was faithful to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego suffered because he was faithful to God. Daniel was cast into the lions because he was faithful to God. Stephen and others that could be named were executed in one way or another because they were faithful to the Lord and they would not turn from their faithfulness. Now, think about the compassion of Jesus. Jesus suffered alone. Jesus suffered alone. When Jesus was hanging there on the cross and shortly before he died, he said that fifth, I think, of the seven sayings of the Savior when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I've heard it said that it's because of the Father could not look upon sin. And I thought myself also just in the recent weeks that it may be that the Father is not only that he could not look upon sin, but that he could not look upon our sins being placed within his body, or Jesus bearing our sins within his body. And Jesus has to do that alone. And so he knows what it's like to suffer alone. And he will give grace so that we will not have to suffer alone. Now that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing truth. But if we have to suffer because of our faithfulness in Jesus Christ, then listen, brother and sister, Jesus will be with us because he doesn't want us to suffer alone for righteousness' sake as he did. And thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. Just think of the grace of God that God has saved us from our sins. Jesus went to the cross to save us from our sins by his amazing grace. But God gives us living grace, sustaining grace, that now whatever the need may be, God can give us that, and thank the Lord for that. Listen, brothers and sisters, people suffer today because of Christianity. Sometime last year, I suppose, I can't remember for sure, but sometime last year, I saw something on the internet. You seen it too, those of you that have the internet, you see it. And it was actors who have been banned from Hollywood. One of those actors was a man by the name of Kirk Cameron. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of him. And he had sister Candace Cameron Bure, and maybe you've seen her in Hallmark movies and whatever. She's been in quite a few of those. But nevertheless, he's banned from Hollywood by certain people anyway. Why? Because of his hateful Christianity. Now think about that, brother and sister. He is banned from Hollywood by certain people anyway because of his hateful Christianity. They consider Christianity, if there's a religion of love, it's Christianity. But they consider Christianity because Christianity has certain standards, and they say certain things are evil in the eyes of God, and are willing to do so, then that is a dangerous religion. That is a hateful religion. And so God help us, brothers and sisters, consider that. All right, what does God say about reproach? Turn over with me, if you wish, to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It's a familiar verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And it reads here. Now this is what God said about reproach. The word reproach is not in this verse of Scripture, as you'll see. But this is what God says about reproach in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says, every one of us are in Christ Jesus. We're God's children. We've been born of the Spirit of God. We belong to the Lord. Now, but if I walk according to the flesh, there is condemnation in me. Now, I'll tell you this way, brothers and sisters, and that is that if I'm walking according to the flesh, then I'm going to condemn myself. You see, there are two natures within me and you and all of God's people who are born of the Spirit of God. I have a spiritual nature that I was given when I was born of the Spirit, and I have a fleshly nature that I had when I was born of my mother. Now, if she had choice, He would have given it to me, but he didn't have a choice in the matter. All of us have the fleshly nature first. And this fleshly nature is against Jesus in every way. And it's in favor of all kinds of gross sins of nature. Because if you look at the works of the flesh, in Galatians, by the way, it just precedes the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. But there you have the works of the flesh. Murder, drunkenness, and all kinds of ungodliness are in there. So listen, that's within us. So that we have a nature that despises the Lord. But thank the Lord, He's given us another nature, the spiritual nature that loves the Lord. And God help us, brothers and sisters, all of us, to crucify the flesh that's in our lives. But again, I guess to chase that rabbit a little bit, I suppose, but if I walk by that fleshly nature, there's condemnation in me. There's condemnation in me. But if I'm walking after the Spirit, there is now, presently, no condemnation. I'm the same with you, my brothers and sisters. And so that's what God says about reproach. Now, while we may be, by living our lives according to the teachings of God's Word, and we're willing to say, this is true, this is false, this is righteous, something else is evil, if we're willing to say that, then listen, brothers and sisters, we are going to be reproached by someone. I remember one of my brethren in the ministry said, if we do that himself, the devil is going to make sure someone is there to see that and put one and one together and come up with three instead of two. And brothers and sisters, by the same token, if we're determined to be faithful to the Lord, and every one of us should, by the way, regardless of consequences that may come our way, if we're determined that we're going to be faithful to the Lord, then listen, there will be those that will consider that a reproach and color us in such a way. And but listen, brothers and sisters, but with God there is no reproach. And as with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with Paul and Peter and Stephen and others that can be named, listen, the Lord will be with us. As the case of Stephen, that's not saying that something bad won't happen to us. Yet at the same time, the Lord will be with us. And so the next point then, what about us? Do we believe that Jesus is better than anything the world has to offer? Every day of the year, is Jesus better than whatever the world has to offer? Will we show it by faithfulness to the Lord? And just by being in the house of God, it is offensive to some people. Several months ago, sometime last year, when all this Antifa, Black Lives Matter and so forth was going on, and riots and so forth, one of them, and I don't know which group he was with, said this about Jesus. He is a European, wrong man, he is a European white supremacist. Jesus died for some white people. Jesus died for some black people. Jesus loves black people just as much as he loves white people, as he loves any other ethnic group that's on the face of the earth. Jesus loves them. Jesus loves people. And thank the Lord for that. All right. Now, and so, just by being in the house of God to worship Jesus would be as offensive to someone. And there are those that I think that if they got their way, that would have to stop if they could get their way. We may displease the whole world, but God help us to remember that He will be with us. And He will bless us. Because, listen, brothers and sisters, I think of this verse of Scripture a couple of pages over in Hebrews, I think chapter 13, verse 8, and since I'm so close, I'll look over there, when it says, no, I'm in Romans. Anyway, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus blesses His people. Jesus existed before the world began, and then later on, and Jesus, a number of times, and Moses knew Jesus because Jesus spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. All right? And Jesus appeared to Abraham one time, not I just read that recently. Jesus appeared to others as a man before he was actually born into this world. And so what Jesus was before the world began, after the world began, he's and during the Old Testament period of time, he's in the New Testament period of time, whether it's the first century, he's the same today. He gave grace to others in Old Testament times and New Testament times and between that, and he still gives grace. And so, remember this one thing, and that is, if we are put to the test, if we are put to the test as to whether we're going to be faithful to the Lord or not, I hope maybe the first thing we can remember is that God will be with me. He will give me grace. He will give me strength. And I can be faithful to the Lord regardless of what circumstances may be. And may the Lord help us in my prayer for Christ's sake.